Kia ora, I'm Johnny Blades, and you're with The House. Among the list of submitters for this week's Select Committee hearings at Parliament, the Auditor-General's office features often. The Auditor-General is one of the three offices of Parliament, the three entities who have a particular job to hold the government to account. Its work provides Parliament with an independent view of how public organisations are operating, and there are a whole heap of them to keep an eye on. I sat down with Mark Evans, the Auditor-General's Director Sector Engagement Parliamentary Group, for a chat about their office's relationship with Parliament, and began by asking him how wide its remit is.
Well, we often talk about the number of audited entities or the number of organisations that the Auditor-General audits, and that's every single public service entity. He appoints auditors to each of those across a range of audit service providers. So that we're about 4,000, and a good 2.5 of those or thereabouts are schools. So that's a very wide range from small entities like small crown entities, you know, schools, cemetery boards, to the very large departments like, you know, MBs and MPI and other departments and large crown entities. So across a large spectrum. And I'd quickly add to that, Johnny, not just the financial information, so the financial statements, assurance that the money's being spent as it should be, but also what's being achieved with that money. So how do we know if it's been spent as it was supposed to, but also what's the result? So that quite broad, efficiency, effectiveness, probity, all those kind of words.
So at any one time, the Auditor-General is conducting a number of reports and probing into, is this thing working well, is that thing working well, right?
Very much so. So there are performance audits. So that can be a team of people going in to really drill down into a specific area, which often we talk about in advance in our draft annual plan. And that will be our performance audit team going to, say, look at mental health or some other specific issue. And it could also be an inquiry. So when a member of the public, maybe a member of parliament, asks us to look into a specific issue for about the probity of a spend or an integrity issue. But then there's the regular contact between the select committee process and the scrutiny function that they have. So we've got a team of people who are in close contact with the select committees and often have a well-worn path between here and parliament.
This week, people from the Auditor-General's office are presenting at several different select committees. So how often does that sort of happen?
Well, for the annual review process, so that's when departments submit their annual report saying how the year has gone. We assist select committees to have a look at that that year that's gone and give them advice on lines of inquiry in confidence to the committee at the beginning, but eventually they become publicly available documents. So that we do over 100 briefs throughout the year on annual reviews alone at budget time. So we support the estimates, the scrutiny of the estimates, so where the money is going to go in the year ahead. And now, you know, we had changes in standing orders in 2023, which set in place a different approach, including scrutiny planning. So what's meant by that is select committees are now looking across the term of Parliament and saying, how can we best do our scrutiny function? Let's plan it. And that's a great step forward. So we're not having sort of as much day-by-day scrutiny, but more how do we know how well things are going over a period of time. And we are coming across this week to talk to select committees about how they might best implement those changes. And there'll be a period of time that we'll go back and forth to support select committees in that change.
These new provisions for scrutiny mechanisms at the Parliament, just pinpoint exactly how the Auditor-General is involved in that.
Well, it's very much in similar vein as has been similar in previous years. We are supporting the select committee's scrutiny of performance of public service entities. In this case, because it's being enhanced with more time for scrutiny, in essence. So the changes to standing orders, which are, you know, available publicly and can be downloaded, describe a process where, A, there's a plan for scrutiny. There's more time, so we have things like scrutiny weeks, so where the House will sit less and there'll be more time for MPs to come into select committee and scrutinise performance at both estimates and also at annual review season. And so we are providing more information to support that process. Some of those in-depth reviews, which is, you know, instead of just 1 hour for a large department like MB, for example, some of those in-depth reviews are going for 3 or more hours. And they've got agendas, structured agendas that enable that dialogue between the audited entity and the select committee to be organised and planned and more carefully dive into the issues that matter. So it's the positive changes we're seeing with the standing orders review of 2023 is that the amount of time for scrutiny has been increased, particularly with those scrutiny weeks. And we're already seeing changes in behaviour, anecdotally at least, both from committees and from those organisations that are called in, where we're seeing a lot more time spent on the issues that matter to those committees and the time available to committees to really drill down to what they think that matters. So that planned approach, that time available is just so important, and we're seeing what we could describe as a change in culture to an approach to scrutiny.
Mark Evans, the Auditor-General's Director Sector Engagement in the Parliamentary Group. And you've been listening to The House, a program made possible with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Mā te wā.